Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. Hebrews 4:12. Ought to be familiar to you this morning. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder, soul and spirit. And it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what I taught you through Sunday school and preached to you, that this Bible was written to discern your thoughts and intents the way it's written. It's not written like a Reader's Digest or a novel or any other book. It's written to know and discern your thoughts the way God wrote it. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says this. It says, "For this man will I look to, he that trembleth at my word." And you know that Bible, the way it's written, and you've heard people say it, they say, well, you can prove anything out of the Bible. And you pretty much can. The way God wrote it, He wrote it that you got to study that Bible, you got to spend time in it, and it'll discern your thoughts and intents how you handle it. For instance, Karl Marx got communism out of Acts chapter 4. That's where it come from. Acts chapter 4, where it said, and they took all that they possessed, and they had all things common. The word communism comes from common. And it said, neither was there any that lacked, for there were many possessors of land or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's what Obama's been preaching. That's what they say in redistribution of the wealth. That's where it came out of is Acts chapter 4, where Karl Marx got it. Karl Marx said, each man according to his ability, and each according to his needs. That's where it come from. Then when you read your Bible, there are many things in the Bible that God made, and they're pure, and they're holy, and they're clean, and man will take that, and the devil, and he'll corrupt and pervert it. The words of the Lord are pure words, it says in the book of Psalms. You know what man does? They take the pure words of God and they pervert them. Jeremiah chapter 23 says, you have perverted the words of the living God. The Bible says in John 15:3, now you're clean through the word that God gave us. I got it out there on the board. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we as not as many which corrupt the word. There's the clean word of God, and God made it clean and man corrupts it. God made it pure and man perverts it. There's that pure, intimate, clean relationship that God created for man and a woman. And it said in the book of Matthew, it said, the marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And God set that relationship up, and a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave as his wife, and they'll be one flesh. And man has taken adultery and fornication and homosexuality, and they have perverted and corrupted the clean sanctity that God set out. God blesses, and God cleans it, and it's pure, and the devil and man takes it and corrupts and curses and perverts it. Every good thing on this earth that God made, the devil will pervert and corrupt it. You take music. Music in the Bible is the highest form of worship in your Bible. There's 800 verses in the Bible that teaches us to worship God with music. It said in Psalm 100, come before His presence with singing. That's why we start off singing. Psalm 40, it said, I waited for the Lord. I patiently waited for the Lord. He inclined to my cry, brought me out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock, established my goals. And the first thing He did after He got saved, He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. Many shall see it in fear. And there's that pure music that God's got. And man takes and corrupts and perverts that music and sings about sin and adultery and perversion. God blesses it and creates it clean, and man perverts it. And I will preach a message this morning on something that God created clean, and He blessed it, and He honored it, and man took, and they corrupted it, and they perverted it, and they cursed it. And I will preach a message this morning and tonight. It's going to be a two-part message. There's no way to get it in tonight. This morning, but I'm going to preach on wine or alcohol and the Bible. Because right now in our Christian churches, even our Bible-believing churches, they teach a lot of them, and I could give you some. They say it's okay to drink alcohol and fermented liquor in moderation. It's all over the Christianity right now. Here's some articles here. Here's a man, Perry Noble. Perry Noble was a pastor of New Spring Church in South Carolina. He had 30,000 people in his church. He was just fired a few months ago because of alcohol abuse and other indiscretions. He says in here, he said, even now, he said, in my opinion, the Bible does not prohibit the use of alcohol, but it does prohibit drunkenness and intoxication. Well, what do you drink it for, dummy, if you don't drink it for that, amen? You drink it because it tastes good? It don't taste good. I drink it. He is fired for it. Here, I got some more. This is off Crosswalk. This is the Southern Baptist site here. He asked, is it wrong? Is it a sin to drink alcohol? They said this. It is an important question for our time. Is it a sin for a Christian to drink alcohol? It is an important question for our time. Millions and millions of Americans have been brutalized and devastated by the abuse of alcohol. And it said Jesus did make wine. And it says this, his first miracle was turning water into wine. I've heard many pastors that I respect go to great lengths to demonstrate that the wine that Jesus made was basically non-alcoholic. But the problem is, he said, I don't think Jesus made wine. He said, I think he made fermented liquor is what he said right there. It goes on to say here, is it a sin to drink alcohol? No, it is not a sin to drink alcohol. I cannot listen to what he says. Now you listen to this because I'm going to give you some stuff this morning tonight. He says this, I cannot find anywhere in the scripture defining a verse or a passage that says alcohol is intrinsically evil. I've read tons of books and articles and sermons on this subject and I have not been satisfied that alcohol is wrong. Southern Baptist. Here's a question. Is it sin for a Christian to drink? I mean, this is just all over the place. I can give you names of Bible believers I've heard stand in the pulpit, pastor, and say, I don't care what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't speak against drinking alcohol. I can give you some. Here's the thing. Is it a sin for a Christian to drink alcohol? And he goes through all this. Is it a sin to drink alcohol? The question is not about whether alcohol consumption is dangerous. It can. If it asks if drinking alcohol is sin, and my answer is no, it is not a sin. You just stick around with those. And I'm going to give you this morning. We're just going to take this morning tonight. And I first part especially, I want you to take your Bibles and come with me. Because I'm going to preach on what the Bible says about alcohol and about wine. And it has a lot to say it. You know, the Bible is our discerner. That verse I gave you, Hebrews 4:12, it's a discerner in thoughts of the tents of the heart. You can pick that Bible up and you can be a drunk and get by with it. You know what? But you can take that Bible and rightly define it and study it, and there's no way in the world, and you'll get this morning tonight, that you could possibly justify drinking fermented liquor from that Bible. And the word wine occurs in your Bible 231 times. The word liquor occurs 3 times. The word strong drink occurs 22 times. The word new wine is found 22 times. And the word fruit of the vine occurs 3 times. And there are clearly 2 different wines mentioned in the Bible. And the Lord discerns there's one that God blessed and God made and God produced. And there's one the devil and Satan perverts that'll kill and it'll curse you. And God said so. One is pure and clean and blessed and healed. One is perverted and corrupt and cursed and killed. And the Bible emphatically and clearly tells you the difference. One is basically grapefruit and one of them is fermented liquor that man corrupt to get drunk with. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 65. And I'm going to give you some verses, especially at the first. And if you don't have a Bible, let me know, we got some. And I want you to look in the index. This is not a sword drill. Look in the index. If you got to find a book, turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Get Genesis chapter 40. Isaiah 65. There's one wine in the Bible that God blesses. There's one wine in the Bible that the Lord God produces from the land. And it's clean and it's pure and God blessed it. Look at Isaiah 65, 8. Isaiah 65, 8 says, thus saith the Lord, watch it, as new wine is found where? In the cluster.
And one saith, destroy it not, for what? For a blessing is in it. New wine is found in a cluster. You know where fermented liquor's found in? It's found in a still, or it's found in a vat, or it's found in a bottle. You can't get fermented liquor out of a cluster of grapes. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, 11. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. Here's the cupbearer. Here's wine. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. That's a Bible picture of the pure wine that God blessed. And wine that God blessed comes naturally from the ground. They don't have to be corrupted by man. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. And I'm going to give you some verses. I want you to look them up. Stay with me, especially at the first here this morning. There are two wines in the Bible. And one of them God blesses and encourages to drink, and he brings it forth, and the other one he curses and says, don't even look at it. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 7. And he will, Deuteronomy 7, 13. And he will love thee, look at it, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb. Watch it. And the fruit of thy land, and thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of the sheep. Look at it. In the land. That's what comes naturally out of the land, is that grapes that God produces and blesses. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11, 14. Deuteronomy 11, 14. That I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. The first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, in thy wine, in thy oil. You see what he said? That's what God blessed and come out of the land, out of the rain, and God sowed it and brought it, and it's pure, and God blesses it. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Proverbs 3:10, I'll give you that when you turn in Proverbs 3:10. It says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's what God gave them. You're talking about grape juice, talking about grapes coming off the vine. 2 Chronicles 31, 5 says this. 2 Chronicles 31, 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought into abundance, look at it, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field. That's what God brought forth in the land. That was before man corrupt and perverts it. Look at Joel chapter 1. We'll go to Haggai, skip Joel. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1. There's a wine that comes out of the field naturally that God blesses, and they sow it in the land, and it comes from the pure grape, and it comes from the cluster of that grape, and God's blessed it, and God's gave it to Israel to be in abundance. Look at Haggai. Haggai. H-A-G-I-A-I-U-I-O. Chapter 1. Verse 11. And I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine. Watch it. And upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth. That's what God brought forth, that wine that he blessed, and it's pure. But the wine that man drinks is called fermented liquor. And what they do to make fermented liquor, man takes and they pervert the grape juice or the corn or whatever they use, grape juice for wine, and they'll take the grape juice, and you know what they'll do? They'll take and they'll pollute it and pervert it, and they'll make it literally rot, what they do. And they pour yeast inside of it. And I'll talk about that later. They pour yeast and it makes a process called fermentation. Here's an article on the internet. Whether you're a first-time winemaker or an old hand, one thing will never change. You need yeast to make wine. Simply put, all wine is a byproduct of fermentation. They take the yeast. I've made homemade wine before. Put the yeast in a bottle, put a balloon on it. Some of you may have done that, did that before I got saved. Made homemade wine. And what it does, it ferments. And the word fermentation, it means to agitate. It means to aggravate. It means to move, what it means. That's what fermentation means. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 23. Fermentation is the process that takes the pure wine and turns it into perverted liquors, what it turns it into. And it's not natural. You can't take a grape and take it and set it out there unless man puts the yeast in it and works at it and turns it into alcohol. God didn't create it that way. Man and the devil perverted it that way. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Look at it. Remember that guy said? He said, I can't find a single scripture in the Bible that has anything evil about alcohol. Guy's an idiot. Amen. Tell him I said so. Look at Proverbs 23. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Proverbs 23:29. Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek, look what it says, mixed wine. That's not the plain wine that God set up. Look what it said, verse 31. It says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. That is exactly what the word fermentation means, to move. If you read every book on the planet about fermentation wine, you'd never have a better description of it than what God said right there. And God told you, He said, not only don't drink at it, Brother Buck, He said, don't even look at it. And there's nothing evil about it. Who hath woe? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Look at verse 32. At last, it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Let me tell you something, honey. That ain't grape juice right there. That is liquor. And I've been with people before, they say, you heard them, give me something that's got a bite in it, brother. And it'll bite like a serpent, and it'll sting like an adder. And I'm going to tell you, brother, that ain't grape juice right there. And God said, don't even look at it. Much less drink it. A pig won't drink it. You know what pigs drink and eat? They won't touch it. Look at verse 33. Then I shall behold strange women, and heart shall utter perverse things. We're going to talk about some of this later. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, as he that lies upon the top of the mast. I mean, your whole world's spinning, what he's talking about. I mean, you're in that sea, top of a mast, being thrown all over the place. Brother, that ain't grape juice. Verse 35, they have stricken me. They, while shalt thou say, and I was not sick, they have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I shall awake, yet I shall seek it again. That ain't grape juice. Turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20. One of them comes out of the cluster. One of them comes out of the ground that God said. One of them God blesses. That Bible don't contradict itself. Bless God, when God said over there, I'm going to bless you with that wine, and that brand land's going to bring forth, and He turns around and said, don't even look at it. He's talking about two different things. And that right there, brother, that guy's a nut. Say there's not a verse in there, don't say anything evil. Brother, if that's not saying it's evil, I don't know what is. That's just one of many. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says this. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Brother, it's raging. It'll go through your life like a hot knife through, brother, and destroy everything you got. And whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. That's not the same wine God keeps talking about over in Deuteronomy and Genesis and those places. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. They continue unto night till wine inflame them. That's not grape juice God's talking about. And he said, woe unto them. Here's one of them, wine that God blesses. And it comes from the land naturally. And God's hand's in it. And there's one that man takes and he perverts and he corrupts in order to make him drunk. That's the whole purpose of it. Look over to Isaiah. Took it, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We was there. Let's go to Song of Solomon chapter 5. Isaiah 65, 8 we looked at. Says there's new wine found in the cluster. And one says, destroy it not. The Lord says, for a blessing is in it. A blessing's not in that Proverbs 23. A blessing not in Proverbs chapter 20. A blessing not in Habakkuk chapter 2. I'll give you in a minute. A blessing's not in Isaiah chapter 5 or Genesis 9. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 5. Verse 1. 5:1. Here's talking about the Lord Jesus with his bride, by the way. And I come with a garden. That's that song. I've come to the garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh, my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb, my honey. I've drunk my wine with milk. You can't put milk, fermented liquor, and it'll rot it. Oh, friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, oh, beloved. Look at verse 10. My beloved is white and cutting, ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ giving His bride that pure wine. Brother, that's not fermented liquor. That's not it. I can give you a lot more. Over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. We've seen it. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance of first fruits of grape and wine and oil and honey and all the increase of the field. And they brought it in abundantly, God told them. In Proverbs 23, that wine, he says, don't even look at it. That's not the same thing. That's why you discern the Word of God. Because you pick it up, you can prove anything you want to. You just throw Proverbs 23 out the door and Proverbs 20 and Isaiah 5 and Genesis 9 and a bunch of other verses. You can just be an outright drunk before you get through. Fermented liquor, some man pollutes. And God creates that wine as clean and there is different as night and day. Wine comes from grape juice. Beer comes from barley, oats, or wheat. Whiskey, rum, brandy, gin, vodka, tequila, are those called hard liquor? What they do with hard liquor, they distill them. They get all the water out, get as much of the water and anything but the liquor out. That's why they're called hard liquor and they're a lot stronger than wine, but they're basically the same thing. And God never had his in it. Rye, there's a thing called rye. Rye is a grain used to make vodka and whiskey. In some beer, rye is. And rye is also a grain that's used to make bread and flour. There's a little poem called The Song of the Rye. It says, I was made to be eaten and not to be drank. To be threshed in the barn, not soaked in a tank. I came as a blessing when put through a mill, as a blight and a curse when run through a still. Make me into loaves and your children are fed. But make it to drink, and I'll starve them instead. In bread I'm a servant, the eater shall rue. In drink I am a master, and the drinker's a fool. There's one of them that's blessed, and God created that rye to make bread and feed you. And another man pollutes and corrupts and perverts to make a bunch of drunkards out of. That's all it's for. Somebody said, hey, preacher, time out. Time out. Jesus drank wine. You ever heard that? You ever heard that? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 26. Turn to Matthew 26. Get Mark 14. And you know, in Mark 15, Jesus is on the cross. And I gave you this a while back. And when he's on the cross in Mark 15, 23, it says this. It said they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. The myrrh was a pain reliever. And that's what they would do on the guys on the cross. They'd dip it in a sponge and let them put their mouth and soak it. It was used as a pain reliever, that wine dipped in myrrh. And the Bible said, But he refused it. He wouldn't drink that wine. You don't find any place in the Bible Jesus Christ drank wine. Even the Lord's Supper. Look at Matthew chapter 26. It's found in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. Matthew 26, 29, chapter 26, verse 29 says this. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this, what he calls it, fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Mark 25, the same thing. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine. Luke 22, 18. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. He always calls it the fruit of the vine. Listen, brother, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, the sonless Lamb of God, never touched it. You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. That guy right there, in his article right here, says, Jesus Christ made wine. He said his first miracle was turning water into wine. I've heard many pastors that I respect go to great lengths to demonstrate that the wine that Jesus made was basically non-alcoholic. Problem. People got drunk in the Bible. There was such thing as strong drink beginning in ancient times. Therefore, the argument that wine Jesus made was non-alcoholic seems far-fetched to me in the most Bible scholars. He said what Jesus made was alcoholic beverages. Turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, this is where the Lord turned water into wine. Look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, here's the Lord, the marriage supper over there in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Verse 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Verse 9, and Jesus said, verse 7, fill the water pots with water, and he filled them to the brim. Verse 9, the water was made wine. Verse 10, and he saith, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worst, and they should have kept the good wine in the nail. The Bible says there were 6 water pots of stone, and each one contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. One firkin is between 8 and 9 gallons. And a firkin is between 8 and 9 gallons. They had 6 water pots of between 2 and 3 firkins. So we'll say there were 6 water pots of 2.5 firkins, which would give us 15 firkins. Every firkin is between 8 and 9 gallons. So we'll just say 8.5 gallons. So you multiply 15 firkins by 8.5 gallons, and you know what you end up with, Brother David? You end up with 127 gallons of booze, if that was alcohol. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Ben, 129 gallons of booze will throw a great big old booze party. And I just don't believe the sinless Son of God, Brother Buck, made 129 gallons, 27 gallons of hooch. In fact, if he did, he took Proverbs 23 and ripped it to shreds, didn't he? Our Bible said in Proverbs 23, don't even look not at the wine when it was red, when it giveth its color and it moveth itself. Listen, if he made alcoholic beverages, he took Proverbs 23 and stepped on it and ripped it out. And he didn't keep the law, by the way. Brother, he ripped that right up. Anybody that read that Bible and tell me that Jesus Christ made 127 gallons of booze, he hadn't got brains. He hadn't got enough brains to come out of the rain. He got rocks in his head. You know what it says, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If Jesus Christ made alcoholic beverages, Brother Bunk, he was deceived. He wasn't a sinless Son of God. He was a drunk, what he was. He made 127 gallons of booze. He took that Bible, Proverbs chapter 23, and tore it to shreds. He wasn't a sinless Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, since we have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not if he made alcoholic beverages over there. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Hebrews chapter 4, was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Not if he made alcoholic beverages, according to Proverbs 23, wouldn't. Turn over to the book of Leviticus chapter 10. Boy, we hadn't even got started. I was hoping to give you 3 points this morning, 4 tonight. We're on 1. Look at this, but I want you to get this. I don't want you to leave here, and I don't want you to think anything other than what the Bible says. I mean, this thing is filtered. I can tell you, we've had, since I've been pastoring, we have had 3 instances of it in this church. Some of you know about one because you came to me about it. The other two, thank God you're not here anymore. But I'm going to tell you, that stuff's in our churches. All over it. You say, why? Because these guys like this right here running around saying it's okay. Like they said in this article, it used to be years ago, every Christian said it was wrong to drink alcohol. I mean, Billy Sunday preached against prohibition, preached and preached. Not nowadays. You say, why? They got them funny Bibles like Brother Tillman says. Brother, anybody think Jesus Christ turned water into alcoholic beverage, 127 gallons, I wouldn't walk across the street and spit on him. Amen. And I say that with charity this morning, Brother David. I wouldn't. Listen, you mess with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're in my territory, okay? In mine. Leviticus chapter 10. You know what Jesus was? He was our high priest. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then we have a great high priest. Jesus Christ was a priest on this earth. Leviticus chapter 10. I'm trying to preach so fast, I'm preaching faster in my mind than my mouth. Can't keep up. Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Here's what the Lord told that priest. Leviticus 10:9. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. God said, if you do it, I'll kill you. He was a priest. He couldn't have drank that. He would have disobeyed the law. And let me tell you something else. Just throw it in. In Revelation 1:8, it says, and Jesus hath made us kings and priests unto God, and we're not to touch it. None of it. Here's the definition. There's 2 of them. Here's the definition and distinction. I'll give you 1 more point this morning. We'll pick up tonight. I want to say, turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. There's a definition of wine. There's 2 of them in the Bible. One of them God blesses. One of them God says to bring forth the land. One of them God says it's his blessing. One of them says he drinks, say to drink it abundantly. One of them says it's a mocker. It's raging. He said, whoever deceived thereby. He said, don't even look at that stuff. He said, it biteth like a serpent. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. I'll tell you something else about it. There's the deception of wine. It's a deceiver. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 says this. It said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know what mock means? Mock means to imitate. And to imitate, then to act to deceive. When we was a kid, you know, we'd aggravate our parents. And they'd say, don't do that. We'd say, don't do that. And they'd say, Stop copying me. I say, stop copying me. They say, quit mocking me. I say, quit mocking me. And after a whipping, I'd stop. But that's what it means. And wine's a mocker. Wine mocks the things that God has set up. Wine mocks the peace and the joy that he wants every person to have. And wine is a mocker. It'll imitate and counterfeit the things that God wants you to have. God has wonderful plans for everybody. You know why it is? It's a mockery of the Holy Spirit, by the way. You know what it says one time? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and I'm going to talk about that later, by the way. But be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I've heard preachers get up and preach, and I've said it before. I kind of feel that way this morning, by the way. It says, man, I'm drunk as a skunk up here today because I'm in the Holy Ghost to get hold of you. And man, you just have a good time. That's what that verse is talking about. Amen. It is the deception of wine. It's a mocker. Look at a Romans chapter 14, verse 7, I'll just quote it. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know what wine does? It mocks that joy and that peace that only God can give you. That's what it does. It's a deceiver. It's a mocker. It'll mock the things of God. You see them on TV. See all these commercials on TV. There's one that I see a lot. And it's got all these beautiful girls, you know. I mean, all these beautiful girls and guys. You know, they're all models. And they're at this party, you know, and smiling and drinking, having a good time. Hey, let me take you down to Jimmy Hale Mission and show you what it's like, really. Amen. Let me take you down there. Those men, 90% of those men are down there because of alcohol. Let me show you the end of the happy hour down there. It's a mocker. You know, they spend over $400 million a year advertising the killer alcohol. The average American children by age 18, they have seen over 100,000 beer commercials. And they show them on TV. Hey, it's Miller time. Grab for all the gusto you can. I mean, it's happy hour. It's a deceiver. It's a mocker. It mocks the things of God. Every single day, at least 10 young people die from drinking alcohol. Donald Trump said in an interview to his kids, he said, quote, Donald Trump has never taken a drink of alcohol in his life, he said. He told his kids when they were young, quote, he said, no drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes, no drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes, period. Well, that sounds great, but that dirty, lying, filthy hypocrite, send him a tape. He has Trump vodka, and he has Trump winery, and he puts that stuff to make our kids into drunks, and he won't drink it. That is sorry a devil is on this earth, brother. I wouldn't vote for him for dog catcher. No drugs, no alcohol to his kids, but he wants your kids to be a drunk. He wouldn't sell that junk. Say, what do you say? It's a deceiver. 2014, this is a government website. 87% of people ages 18 and older have drank alcohol. 71% say they drank it the last month. It's a deceiver for our kids. It'll destroy them. The prevalence of binge drinking. Binge drinking is in blood in the colleges. And what they do, they drink enough alcohol till they pass out. Yeah, they nearly die. 24.7% of people ages 18 and older reported that they engaged in drinking, binge drinking in the last month. It's a deceiver. You know what the number one killer of young people are between the ages of 16 and 24? You know what the number one killer is? Alcohol-related automobile accidents. Adrian Rogers told a story. I heard him preaching one time. Adrian Rogers used to be at Bellevue Baptist, went home to be with the Lord. He was talking about a man he knew. He knew this man. And he said this man got a call one night in the middle of late night. And they called him and told him his daughter was involved in a car accident. And they had her buddy down at the morgue. And they said she is involved in an alcohol-related car accident. And his daughter was only 16, 17 years old. And he said, that can't be my daughter. She don't drink. She's not old enough to drink. And they said, well, you need to come out and just look. We believe it's your daughter to identify her. And he went to the morgue, and there was his daughter. It was true. She had died in an alcohol-related car accident. And that man said, I'll kill a man. I'll kill the man that I find out that's bought alcohol or sold her alcohol. He said, I'll kill him. I'll choke him to death. I'll choke him with my bare hands when I find the man that gave her alcohol. Went back home that night. Sat down crying, weeping, heartbroken. Decided to go over to the bar where he had his alcohol and reach in there and get a bottle. When he opened it up, he found a note from his daughter. Said, Dad, I hope you don't mind, but we took one of your bottles. We want to do a little celebrating. It's a deceiver. It's a mocker. Wine is a mocker. It'll mock the things of God. There was Billy Martin. Billy Martin was a former manager of the New York Yankees. He was one of them that used to be on all the beer commercials years ago. December day, 1989, Billy Martin and his buddy William Reedy, they went to a Detroit bar for happy hour that Christmas day. They went there and had a happy hour at the bar, and on the way home, they traveled and skid 100 feet down a 4-foot deep gully. And when he found Billy Martin, he was dead on impact. He went through the windshield. I bet that would make a good Miller Lite commercial, wouldn't it? They don't want you to see the end of happy hour. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived, thereby is not wise. They say on TV, they say about it, grab for all the gusto you can. You heard that. You only go around once in life. Grab for all the gusto. Listen, that thing will grab you and take everything you got. It'll take your family. It'll take your wife, your husband. It'll take your health. It'll take your job. It'll put you down the Jimmy Hale mission. I talked to lawyers. I talked to bankers. I talked to preachers. I talked to men that was well off. And alcohol destroyed their lives. And they all started off with one drink. One drink. It's a deceiver. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. It'll rage through you. Proverbs chapter 23, we looked at it. It goes through there. It says, they have stricken me, and I shall say I was not sick. They have beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? And it says this, after all that, it says, I will seek it yet again. You say, why, preacher? After that, all that in Proverbs 23, he said, I've beaten me, I didn't feel it. All those things that goes through, contentions and woes. He said, when I get through, I'm going after it again. You say, why? It's a mocker. It'll deceive you. Sam Jones, old-time Methodist preacher, used to say, he said, a man that says he can take it or leave it, he'll take it every time. Take it every time. Say, yeah, the preacher. I mean, come on. Come on, preacher. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. There's a poem. We drank for happiness and we find sorrow. We drank for joy and get misery. We drank to be outgoing and become reclusive. We drank for sociability and become argumentative. We drank for sophistication and become crude and rude and obnoxious. We drank for friendship and make enemies. We drank for a little peace and get troubles. We drank for strength and get weakness. We drank for bravery and become afraid. We drank for relaxation and get the shakes. We drank for confidence and become paranoid. We drank for freedom and become a slave. We drank for power and become powerless. We drank to soften sorrow and wallow in self-pity. We drank for health and become sick. We drank because of our job and lose our job. We drank to make conversation and slur our words. We drank to forget and are forever haunted. We drank to ease problems and see them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invite in death. We drank to feel heavenly and we find hell. It's a mocker. It's a mocker. You say, yeah, but preacher, what about a little bit? What it says over there, we can drink it as long as it's not excess. Didn't we just see that? Didn't we just read that? Turn over to 2 Peter. First Peter, turn over to First Peter chapter 4 and get Ephesians chapter 5. First Peter chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5. You know what I've taught you here for years and years and years? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. That one little word changes everything. That's why you look at every word. Look what that Bible says about that wine. Say, oh, it's okay to drink a little bit now, preacher, long as it's not excess in what we're talking about. First Peter chapter 4, verse 3. First Peter 4, 3. For the time past of our life, it may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we were washed in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting and abominable idolatries, verse 4, when they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rut, speaking evil of you. You say, there you go, it's okay, long as it's not excess. Hold on to that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. The excess is in the wine. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I quoted this a minute ago. Ephesians 5, 18 says this. Look at it. And be not drunk with wine. Look what it says. Wherein is excess. The wherein means that inside the wine, it is excess. It don't mean you can drink it long as it's not excess. It means the wine in itself is excess. Don't fool with it. Wherein is excess. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at 1 Peter 4, 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Well, is it okay to ride a little bit, you think, just as long as it's not in excess? No, the ride itself is excess. Wherein is excess is in the wine, brethren. Well, I can drink a little bit. How much is excess? I got a measuring cup here. This is 1 ounce of Coke in it. 1 ounce. That's 1 ounce of Coke. 1 ounce of alcohol, that much. 1 ounce of fermented wine takes away 10% of your cognitive ability. That much. That much takes your brain 10% of it away. That much right there can turn you into a murderer when you get behind that car. That much, that little bit, 1 ounce, takes 10% of your brain away. You say, oh, come on, preacher. One refreshing glass of wine, not going to turn me into a drink, not going to turn me into an alcoholic. Don't bet on it. Here's what scientist says. This is not a preacher. According to U.S. News and World Report, quote, alcohol begins to alter the functioning of virtually every organ from the moment it enters the body. Experts believe that occasional drinks are dangerous. That 1 ounce right there, you're going to give away 10% of your brain to the devil is what you're going to do. You say, well, one drink's not going to turn me into alcoholic. Studies show that you have at least 1 in 10 chance of turning into an alcoholic with the first drink. One drink. One drink. Research says, this is doctors, this is not me. Every time you take a drink, you're playing Russian roulette. Any given sip, you may pull the switch that will change your metabolism and turn you into a chronic alcoholic and destroy your life, is what the scientists and medical experts say. That next drink, that little sip, they said, could turn you into an alcoholic and flip the switch. Say, it wouldn't happen to me. Every man down there at Jimmy Hill Mission says the same thing. They didn't dream in a million, billion, trillion years they'd be sitting down there, but they're there. Let me take you down there, show you what alcohol will do. One evening in October, when I was about 1/3 sober, and was taken home alone with manly pride, my poor feet began to stutter, So I lay down in the gutter, and a pig came up and lay down by my side. Then we sang as all fair weather and good fellows get together, till a lady passing by was heard to say, she says, you can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses. And the pig got up and slowly walked away. Amen. You know what, friend? Pigs won't drink it. There's the deception. We're going to stop this morning. I got a bunch more. We ain't even got started. But I want you to get this. I don't want this to get in your life, your family, anybody around you. If you got some, get them copies of this stuff. Because I'm going to tell you, this thing's a killer. Alcohol is the worst. I'll show you tonight. Is the worst drug you can put in your body. It's way worse than heroin or any of those other. It's the worst. It destroys your body more, 1 ounce, than every one of those drugs put together. Alcohol will do it. And I'll show you some more things about it from the Bible too. And we got a lot left. We ain't got started. All right. I'm going to ask Brother David.